This is an RNIB Connect radio podcast.
Braille 200 is celebrating 200 years of Braille. And joining me now to explain more is Chair of the Braillists Foundation, Dave Williams. Welcome into RNIB Connect Radio, Dave.
Hello, good to be here.
It's a big year of celebrations for Braille, but who do you think Braille is for?
Braille is for anybody who finds reading standard print difficult. And of course, we have lots of other ways to read, large print and audio. But there are times when audio can feel intrusive or can be difficult to hear. So anybody who needs to read with their fingers instead of their ears or their eyes, or as well as their ears or their eyes.
And Braille has been around, as we say, for 200 years. Has it changed much in the last two centuries?
It's evolved, and I think this is a testament to the strength of Braille, its ability to adapt with the times. The original alphabet developed by Louis Braille in the 1820s, broadly speaking, remains unchanged, but there was no W, for example, in early 19th century French, so the W was added later. And of course, now we need to represent things like hashtags, at signs in email addresses and social media. So Braille has adapted to incorporate those symbols. But, you know, fundamentally, it's the Braille we've always had.
So is Braille sort of a living language, something which is changing and evolving and maybe taken by people who speak different languages other than English and made their own?
In almost every country around the world. So the English Braille alphabet, obviously, we use the Roman alphabet in English, and that's used in many countries. So we have the same alphabet. Of course, there are different symbols where you need to accent letters. So for example, if you're writing an E acute, then you would have a different combination of dots for that. But yeah, Braille has been adapted into many languages, including Welsh.
And you're keen on technology, Dave, to say the least. What role has technology played in the advancement of Braille?
Well, technology gives us some new opportunities, I think, in terms of the ability of software to instantly translate any text into Braille, or you can write in Braille and have that converted back to text. So you've got that instant back and forward translation, and that software is already built into most modern smartphones, tablets and laptops. But also technology gives us the facility to disseminate and distribute Braille content. So we've got electronic Braille libraries now, which means that anybody can download a Braille book where they are. And of course, technology is a great way to connect as well. So I can write something in Braille and send that to somebody on the other side of the world, and they can write back, and I can have that in Braille instantly. So as well as the code evolving, we've got that software, and we've got those delivery systems and distribution platforms. The other important thing I think to say about technology now as well is that we're able to produce Braille books on demand. You know, historically, we used to have to keep, you know, big collections of old books that, you know, would decay over time. And now, because of the ability of technology to store and produce Braille relatively quickly, we're able to produce fresh copies of Braille books.
The statistic that RNIB gave is that 7% of blind and partially sighted people use Braille. The Braillist Foundation speaks to a lot of learners. Do you get an idea of why people might be reluctant to learn sometimes?
I think there are a lot of myths and misconceptions around Braille. I think sometimes people think it's going to take them a long time to learn, and they're not sure about the value that it can bring to their lives. And I think also sometimes there's this misconception that somehow you can only learn Braille if you're a child or if you're super intelligent. My experiences with the Braillists Foundation have shown me that actually you can learn Braille at any age, and also you only need a very small amount of Braille in order for it to be useful for very practical things like labeling greetings cards, playing board games, recognizing some medication, a number in a lift. So there are lots of practical use cases of Braille. You don't have to be a speed reader of Braille. No one's expecting you to suddenly be able to read, you know, massive books in Braille in order for you to find Braille useful. But there are going to be circumstances when audio just isn't going to work, right? Or large print isn't going to work. And so it's very important that we keep the option of Braille available for everybody who can benefit from it.
And have you got any tips for getting started with Braille?
Well, the first thing, of course, is developing those pre-Braille skills. So tracking, discriminating, fine motor skills. So things like crafts, playing a musical instrument, cooking, they all help develop those tactile and dexterity skills that you're going to find really helpful when it comes to learning Braille. I would also suggest that you get peer support, because as with learning anything new, it can be quite tough when you're doing it on your own. So join a group, reach out to the Braillist Foundation, find out who's using Braille where you are, and connect with them, because having mentors, having that peer support keeps you accountable, keeps you motivated, gives you somebody with whom you can celebrate your successes. Or if you hit a challenge or something you find difficult, then you've got somebody you can talk it over with. RNIB, of course, has Braille courses available. Fingerprint is very popular, available from the RNIB shop. And you can go online and learn to write Braille using tools like UEB online. And then, yeah, the Braillists Foundation, we have a Braille for Beginners course, which really is a kind of an on-ramp to Fingerprint. So if you're just starting out, perhaps check that out. It's a free resource. There are 8 short audio lessons and some hard copy resources that can be posted out to you, and that can really help you get started. And it also gives you regular contact with a Braille tutor and also other Braille learners.
And what's been your personal experience with Braille, Dave? How has it impacted your life?
Well, bit of a confession, when I was growing up, I resisted Braille with every fiber of my being. You know, I felt like Braille was something that separated me from other people, that made me different from other people. I thought it was something that was Victorian and weird and unnecessary. And I couldn't have been more wrong. When I got into work, I discovered that actually Braille was incredibly useful for proofing a document or for delivering a presentation. But I think the real big moments for me have been in my personal life. As a dad, I couldn't find a better way of reading the bedtime story, for example, with my son. I talk about this a lot, that I really worried about how I was going to do that. And, as a dad, I wanted to be able to do all the silly voices and get in character. And Braille meant that I was able to do that. And so I brushed off my Braille skills and started doing the bedtime story. I actually proposed to my wife on a Braille Scrabble board. We love playing Scrabble together. And the night before Valentine's Day, I popped the question on the Scrabble board and then invited my wife to play Scrabble on Valentine's Day. And she read the question. And I spent the next few minutes waiting while she rummaged around in the bag for the letters to compose an answer, during which time I realized that in a standard set of Scrabble, there are only 2-letter Ys, and I'd use them both in the question. And then when I was running marathons for RNIB, I remember getting to the end of my first in-person London marathon, and the volunteer hung the medal around my neck, and your hands kind of go to the medal as they do. And I found Braille on the medal. It said, "We run together." And that was quite an emotional moment for me, because it meant that I was able to read that myself and not have somebody read it to me. And that's the important message, I think, with Braille. It is often the difference between reading for yourself or having someone or something read to you.
As a learner, give us an idea of what it's like. What do you need to get started?
So at the very beginning, you just need to start doing things with your hands. You know, it's those pre-Braille activities. But actually, once you start using Braille, then you can request books from RNIB's library, which of course is free to join, but also Braille learning materials from the Braillist Foundation to start practicing tracking skills and things like that. You can make Braille labels. In fact, anybody can make Braille labels, whether you know Braille or not, using a Braille labeler. This is a handheld device, usually costing, you know, 20 or 30 quid. One of the more popular devices for writing Braille is probably the Perkins Brailler, and that is a bit more expensive. So a new Perkins Brailler tends to be about £600 or £700. So you might want to have a look on eBay or ask around if anybody's got a secondhand Perkins Brailler. Sometimes they come up. The cost of Braille technology is coming down. You may find actually that built into your smartphone or your tablet, You can use something called Braille screen input, and that software is already built in there. So you can place six fingers on the screen and you can write in Braille, which I do, and I find it a lot more efficient than using the QWERTY keyboard. And there are demonstrations on how to do that. You can find information on Apple Viz about using Braille on Apple devices. And of course, there is an Android equivalent to Braille screen input as well. So there's lots of Braille round and about. Maybe just looking on the RNIB shop and perhaps ordering yourself some Braille playing cards. That can be a good place to start as well, particularly if you've still got some, you know, residual vision.
And do we know who is using Braille now in 2024, with 200 years on? Is it the pursuit of young people? You mentioned people learning in school. Is it older people who maybe want to read independently and have, you know, their own voice reading their own texts? Who is using Braille now?
You can use Braille at any age. Yeah, absolutely. Braille is used in school for exams, for technical subjects, for music. Braille is tremendously versatile. You know, it's not just about books. People are using Braille in their personal lives for things like games and greetings cards and labeling. But also, people learn Braille later in life. And this was news to me. You know, I grew up with this idea that, oh, you could only learn Braille when you're young. And it's simply not true. If you have got a little bit of sensitivity in the ends of your fingers and you can develop that, then you have potential capacity to benefit from Braille. You don't have to be a especially fast Braille reader, and you don't have to have been blind from birth. There are people who do learn Braille later in life, and the Braillist Foundation can certainly help you with that.
Well, tell us a bit about the Braillists and the work of the foundation.
Sure. So the Braillists Foundation really span out of a focus group for Bristol Braille Technology. We were together testing some of their innovations. And then, of course, the conversation turned to other topics. And very quickly, we realized that we needed to have a Braille first organization in the UK, a grassroots Braille organization that was going to support adult touch learners and give feedback to those who wish to develop technology products. So we registered with the Charity Commission at the start of 2020. And then, of course, like everybody, when the pandemic came along, we had to pivot and go online. And so the Braillist Foundation has delivered hundreds of hours of masterclasses, of question and answer sessions. We have a very active book club. It's actually a reading group. We're not doing literary analysis, but it's just an opportunity for people to read together. And we really have, with quite minimal investment, grown, you know, to beyond all our wildest dreams. We've got a couple of thousand people now, I think, on our mailing list. We've received a Point of Light Award from the UK Prime Minister for our work challenging loneliness among Braille learners during the pandemic. And also, we've received recognition from the National Braille Press in the United States, who gave us an award, and also the International Council on English Braille are very aware of the work of the Braillist Foundation. So it's a very small team of volunteers that keep the foundation going, but we are able to support anybody who wants to get started with learning Braille. And for those people already using Braille, what we seek to do is to provide interesting and engaging content so they feel able to become Braille advocates and Braille ambassadors and hopefully spread Braille for future generations.
And what do the Braillists have planned across the Braille 200 celebrations?
Well, it's still early days for us. I think we are hoping to join up with some of RNIB's Braille and Beyond tour, which will be visiting 12 libraries across the UK throughout the celebration period. There will be a number of trustees from the Braillist Foundation at the British Library event towards the end of November. And I think we're also looking to put on a one-day Braille conference on World Braille Day, which is the 4th of January.
Where's the best place to find out more information about the Braillists and join in with the Braille 200 celebrations?
Sure. Well, you can just pop on over to braillists.org. That's BRAILLISTS.org and sign up for our newsletter. And of course, the hashtag for Braille 200 is Braille 200 on your social media. So I'm sure if you follow Braille 200 on social media and stay tuned to RNIB Connect Radio, you'll hear lots more as the year progresses.
Dave Williams, Chair of the Braillist Foundation. Enjoy the Braille 200 celebrations. And thanks for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you.